Okay, so we left with a few problems. First of which is the machlokas between Rav Yonasan ben Shaul and the Chachamim as to if you have the ability to prevent the rodef through taking out a limb, and you don't, or do you have to? If you don't take out a limb, rather you just kill him, are you chayiv misa or not? Are you subject to the death penalty or not? Or another way to say it is, are you allowed to kill him even if you have the ability to take out a limb? Okay, or do you say no, that if you have the ability to take out a limb, then you're obligated to. You're only allowed to kill him where you don't have an option. So, the question was as far. Okay, so I'm thinking the same thing as Matt, I think. Okay, you'll tell me, but I think this is what you're saying. So let me just to simplify things for starters, is that there's a classical chakira, which is out there. Not as classical as Tafsa Gavra, but it's a pretty classical one. Okay? Which is, I think might be appropriate here. Okay, and that's chutra or dechuya. Okay. Chutra or dechuya. Chutra means the permitted, dechuya means pushed aside. Okay? So, I'll apply it here. I think maybe we have to pursue it further, but I think it's a good descriptive step, and it's very close to the svara. But, see, dechuya means that it's pushed aside. It means that you have a prohibition against killing the rodef, you have a obligation to save the nirdaf, and you have a clash. So, the mitzvah of saving the nirdaf, of hatzalas nefesh of the nirdaf, pushes aside the killing of the rodef, pushes aside the prohibition, the issur of killing the rodef. It's a clash. It's an absolute clash. That's in Dol Nefesh and Nefesh. So, in theory, you'd say, in the clash, you just don't do anything. But that's what the Pasuk is teaching you, that you favor the Nirdaf, in La Moshiach, whatever, teaching you that in the clash, the saving of the Nirdaf pushes aside the killing of the Rodef. Okay? Pushes aside means that they coexist. It is the prohibition. It's prohibition, and it's the mitzvah. But you have a clash, so you have something has to give. So it pushes aside. Like you have these things. Like you have a seido, chalos, aseido, all kinds of things. When you have conflicts, you have principles where halacha is a system, and the system oftentimes will result in contradictions. That you have a mitzvah, let's say you have a mitzvah of doing milah. And then you have a prohibition of cutting, making a wound on Shabbos. Now milah is a mitzvah. And cutting is a prohibition on Shabbos. You have a clash, so they have different principles that we do mitzvah. The mitzvah pushes aside. Milah pushes aside the prohibition of Shabbos. But it still is, or Shabbos, bottom line is, you're cutting, you're doing a malacha. But it pushes it aside. Okay, there's an idea of it pushes it aside. So it pushes it aside, there's a principle. The rule is, this is a universal rule, is that you only say the chia if it's impossible to accomplish them both. If it's EF Shalakayim Shneam, means that's the whole idea. It means they both exist, and what the conflict forces you to make a decision, and that decision goes one way as opposed to the other. But if it's possible to accomplish both of them, then you have no right to push it aside, right? So if it's possible to save the Rodev and the Nirdaf, so then what are you going to say? The pushing, and it's not pushing it aside. What's pushing it aside? What's pushing aside is killing the Rodev. Saving the Nirdaf, I don't have to do that to save the Nirdaf. I could save the Nirdaf through a limb. So if the whole idea is that it's pushing it aside only pushes it aside if there's a clash. If saving the Nirdaf does not in any way demand killing the Rodev, so there's no clash and there's no pushing aside. Okay? So if it's Dechuya, if it's pushing it aside, if it's a phenomenon of Dechuya, pushing it aside, then it's only if it's EF Shalakayim Shneim, if it's not possible to accomplish both. Okay, that's kind of the way we've been looking at it all along. Right, that's the way we've been looking at it. The clash.
That'd be
yes, that's the Rebbeinu Zalman Shaul. Okay, that's the clash. Okay. But the idea of hutra, I forgot that. Okay, so the hutra means is that, and I think this is the way you're saying it, Matt, is that saving the nirdaf is not killing, is not murder. Okay? If you ask me, what am I doing? Like the Torah says, Ein lo moshia. Remember we said is that, like, and this is, I guess, from the psukim, it might even be more mashmalas, is that a person who sees the woman being raped, he's grabbed by his obligation of saving. And that's what he's doing. Is that he views this situation as a situation of saving her. And the rodef is almost like a chafta, like an object of the saving of the nirdaf. And when you encounter saving a person, that trumps, and that takes that. Insofar as I'm saving the nirdaf, that's what I'm doing. What is he doing? He's Moshiach. He's saving her. And it doesn't, like we said, it doesn't say, and there was no one to save her, or that, and you couldn't kill her, you couldn't save her because you would involve killing him. It described the scene totally as someone saving her. And it means is that, yeah, it's true, the reason why the Torah does this, I think it's true, the reason why the Torah does this whole thing is because there's the situation of Rodef in general involves a clash between the Rodef and the Nirdaf. But the way the Torah resolved it is it didn't just, you know, throw the weight on one side and say it pushes it aside, but it said that insofar as you're involved in saving, there's a situation of a Rodef and a Nirdaf, and insofar as you're saving the pursued, the Nirdaf, that's not Ratzicha. That's not murder. That's Hatzalah. I'm involved in, as the Torah did, the Torah defined saving the Nirdaf as a Maisa Hatzalah and not as a Maisa of murder. Okay, now the question is, am I saving the Nirdaf? Okay, is there a Nirdaf? So first of all, yes, there is a Nirdaf. The guy is being chased. Am I saving the Nirdaf's life by killing the Rodef? I am. And therefore, that's not murder. Could I have saved him otherwise? Yes, but who cares? The bottom line is that the action I am, that's not what I'm doing. I'm not doing an action of murder. I'm doing an action of saving the Nirdaf. Hatzalas and Nirdaf. And Hatzalas and Nirdaf, that's what the Pasuk is teaching me. That's what the Pasuk is teaching me. Vein la Moshiach is teaching me that in the institution of saving the Nirdaf is Hutra. That's not, it's hutar, it permits the crime of killing, which means that it's not, that's simply not killing. As if hutra is permitted, it means there's no crime that's not killing. It's like as if the crime of killing wasn't applied in the instance of the nirdaf, and in the framework of saving the nirdaf. So therefore, it's simply defined. So that's what it says, hutar legamri. That's what Rashi says. I think hutar legamri is good. That's what it means, hutra. It points to that. It's hutra. But I think you need to say hutra, you need this idea, the concept, because why should we hutra legamri? The concept is that so far as I'm involved in Tzolos HaNirdaf, there's no stops. Okay, and that's what I'm simply, I have a right to do Tzolos HaNirdaf at all costs. And it's hutra, this is Ratzicha. I don't have to think about Ratzicha. I'm involved in Tzolos HaNirdaf, the Nirdaf takes precedence over the Rodef, and I could save the Nirdaf no matter what. I could ignore anything else. That's what I'm doing, Ein Lo Moshiach. The situation of seeing someone being killed, being raped, engages you in an institution of tzalah, and I'm not involved in killing. It's not a mitzvah. It's not murder. It's good with the idea that murder is not just killing, because you can't say I'm not killing. I'm killing, but it's murder. Murder lends itself to this type of an idea. I'm not involved in the murder. I'm involved in the tzalah. It reminds me of these questions, like it would be like a policeman on the job, is that's not murder. Like if they shoot the guy, you know, these things nowadays in the news, yeah, these, you know, like the cops who get too excited, you know, they claim that the cops are killing the guy, they shouldn't have killed him, they shouldn't. The point is, you could argue, look, a cop is on duty, he's trying to save, trying to stop a crime, he's trying to stop a thing, that's not murder. That's not, you can see the sense behind the thing. The sense is, he's involved in Hatzalah. And Hatzalah is Hatzalah, that's not murder. Now, did he get a little trigger happy? Was he careful? I mean, I don't know, these are questions. The point is, once there's a situation of a rodef, of a person who's trying to kill, now that engages him as a saver, and as a matzil, and that's not murder anymore. I mean, you could have this question. I'm sure these are the questions. I'm sure these questions come up in real nowadays. And that's the whole question. As you say, look, or you could say, no, you're a police officer. It's very nice. You want to save him, but it's true that look, if you have to decide between the perpetrator and the victim, you favor the victim. But it doesn't mean that he's still killing the perpetrator. So you got to weigh things out perfectly carefully. And if not, then they're going to start pressing charges. I mean, you could imagine this question. I mean, these are the questions involved in. I think that's what you're saying, but this reminds me of we discussed this at the time. If you remember, what was the limud to teach me that you're allowed to kill was Ein La Moshiach, right? Was that and there's no one there to save her, implying if there's someone there to save her, that's it. So he said, what does that mean? You see, the Torah was describing it totally in the framework of saving her. It wasn't describing it in the framework of the Rodef. So we showed is that means that that in this case you could look at the Rodef as like an accident in the chavtza in the saving of the Rodef of the Nirdef, right? So we asked at the time, we said, okay, so then where do you fit that all in with our halachic machriya and all that stuff, right? I mean, that just sounds like that's like halachic, it's a different idea, a different type of an idea. So we said is that the Torah Shebuch Sav is describing it in terms of the written and Torah, describing it to the idea behind it is that it's you're involved in saving the road, they're saving the road, saving the Nirdaf. But halachically, how does it work? Because bottom line is you're killing the road, so how do you have a right to look at it from one framework as opposed to another framework? So it's true, philosophically speaking, the Torah is saying is that that's the conclusion, that you're defined, you're involved, you're saving the Nirdaf. But halachically, no. So we said is that halachically, the way it's working is through the machriya. But the Torah is in Torah Shav. It's not telling you the halachic mechanism which is accomplishing it. It's just describing to you the end result, which is that that you have a right to just look at it from that perspective and to save the nirdaf. So that's what we learned, because we were learning, assuming Rabbi Yonasan and Shaul's conclusion that it really is the chia, and it's ein dachan avshnei nefesh, and if you have a right, if you could knock off a limb, you have to. But maybe that's not the simpler way to learn. The simpler way to learn could be that you'd say is that it's telling you ein la moshia means that it's hutra, that insofar as you're saving her, that's the activity. The activity is defined as saving her. And that's it. And there's no situation in Dachnash and Nefesh, because the thing is that's not murder. That's that you have a right. That's what you're involved in. And so far as that's what you're involved in, that's not murder. And if that's the case, if you just go with the limud, the simpler way to learn the limud is that really it's not murder altogether. And if that's the case, then you don't have to start trying to weigh out and see if I can take out a line. And Rabbi Nura, so the Gemara says, so how does Rabbi Nosson and Shaul know that the Torah Shebuch Sav is really just the Torah Shebuch Sav? It's just writing it that way because it's just giving you the bottom line in terms of what you're allowed to do. It's not showing you the mechanism, but the mechanism is really one of Dechia. How does Rabbi Nosson and Shaul know that? So that's what he has to show you from a Pasuk. But it could be a simpler way to go would be that since the Limud is from Ein LaMoshiach, which sounds like it's saying is you have it's simply defined as saving her, not killing him. Sounds like it's saying is that the Hutra idea. So that's what it says. It must be your Nelson Shal has a source to know that you wouldn't, that you don't say that. I mean, at the time we just said is that there's no halachic idea like that. By what right do you have to say I'm saving her, not killing him? We said there's no idea like that, and therefore it must be that how Nelson Shal is saying the only the mechanism is. You know, is to say that it's pushing aside. But it could be now saying is no, that's a mechanism of hutra. And that mechanism of hutra is that the Torah is telling you that so far as you're being a road, if that's your gossip, that your hatzalas a road, hatzalan yerdaf is not murder. So if that's the case, that sort of sounds like the Torah is saying is just to look at it totally from our perspective. So that's what we're saying is that how does Rishon Hashem know not to look at it that way? So he's showing you is that if you would look at it that way, then you can't make sense of that whole thing, that whole case of Ason, whatever, that other thing. It's almost like, look, you could say the Limud is just a Torah Shebuch Sav, but it's not telling you the halachic mechanism. But that's not the simpler way to go, is it's actually showing you the halachic mechanism. So that's the simpler Hutra, as it says, I mean, that's the Limud, Torah Shebuch Sav, is showing you exactly the mechanism. It's Hutra. You're just involved in saving her. But if you want to say that it's just telling you the conclusion and that's the idea that you're allowed to do that, but it's not showing you the mechanism. You have to prove that. So he does. He shows from Pasuk. Okay, so the next issue is, so by the way, I don't think this has to change that much. I mean, obviously it changes this halacha, that what they have to try to, you know, but I don't think it changes that much. Like in terms of when, which crimes it applies to, or, you know, I mean, like a lot of stuff is the same thing, is when did the Torah has a clash, how do you deal with the clash? But when it's a clash, or when the Torah said so, it's still going to be the same question. Just how did the Torah deal with it? Did it say that it's pushing it aside, or did it say that it's, you have a right to just be involved in that's all. Right? So I don't think it's going to change so much. Okay? Fine. But you don't have to say Zayin Lo Damim. You don't have to say Zayin Lo Damim. Okay. Fine. So now the question is so I guess the best way to do this is that so how does Rabbi Yonasan Shalom know his case? So basically the Gemara has a case, the Pasuk has a case, where a person is attempting to kill his friend, okay, attempted to kill his friend, and by accident he kills he hits a pregnant woman, and he kills the fetus, okay, and this causes miscarriage. So there's a monetary obligation involved in killing it. If a person just, let's say, just straight goes and hits a pregnant lady, not trying to kill, just tries to kill the fetus, so you have to pay money to the husband, okay, which is for every reason. Let's take that as a given for now. Okay, that's an axiom. So the question is he obligated the money in this case? So on the surface, you should say, the Gemara says, you should say no, because since you're involved in trying to kill your friend, you're a rodef. And a rodef is subject to being killed. So you're subject to being killed. And the principle is that if you're involved, that a crime which involves the death penalty, involves death, cannot be a mechayev mamon, cannot obligate one to pay money. So since this crime involves death, because you're a rodev, so how could it be that it's going to involve it to be mechayev your mamon? Right? So the Gemara answers, as Rabbi Yisrael Masal answers, it must be talking about where you're running after the guy, you're trying to run after your friend, but someone could have saved you through taking out your limb. So since someone can save you from taking out your limb, you're really not subject to death. You're not subject to death. And therefore, for you, you have to pay the money. Because the Pasuk says you have to pay the money. Right? So that's where Rabbi Yonasan learns as his source. But so our question is, but that's not a death penalty. It's one thing to say that if you're involved in a crime whose punishment is death, you don't have a punishment of money. But here, this isn't a punishment. It just happens to be that you have to save the nirdaf. And doing so, it allows the person to kill you. But that's not you would think that that's not the case where you don't have death and money for the same thing. But the Gemara does not suggest that as a possibility. The Gemara seems to. The idea is that the idea is you can't get a punishment. A crime which is subject to the punishment of death cannot have a punishment of money. But here, this isn't a punishment. It's not a punishment. It's just an idea that you save the nirdaf even at the expense of the life of the rodef. But that's not a penalty, so therefore you'd think is that this is not subject to this principle. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, no, maybe you'll say the reason why even though you're a rodef is obligating you in death, you can still be chayev money because the death is vis-a-vis the person you were killing, you were chasing. But the money is to the other one person, the husband of this pregnant woman. So the misa lezevet hashem lezeh. Okay, so maybe then you'll say that you could be chayv in both, in the misa and the mamon. So the Gemara says no, it's not true. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they're two different people. The principle still applies. Okay. So for starters, we have to know why does this principle apply even in the case of rodef, where it's not really an onesh. I can understand why an onesh. You would think it's by a punishment that you can't have the same crime which involves both these punishments. So you can't have punishment of death and punishment of money. But here, it's not a punishment. It's you're allowed to save the nirdaf even at the expense of the rodef, right? So why does that apply? So in order to see that, I think we should look at this principle. Where's the source of this principle altogether? Okay, where's the source of the principle altogether? So it's a Gemara in Ksubos on Lamed Hay. So the Gemara is a Rashi on Ayin Gimel and Beis quotes it. The first time this whole principle comes up, Rashi on Ayin Gimel, Rashi sends you to Ksuba. So Ksuba is with Daf Lamed Hey and Aleph. So it's Tana Dvei Chizkia. Okay? Tana Dvei Chizkia. Tana Dvei Chizkia, it's on Lamed Hey and Aleph in Ksuba. It says, Maki Adam u Maki Behema. So what's Maki Adam u Maki Behema? So it's a Pasuk, which says, Maki Nevesh Behema Shalmana. So, Maki Behema Shalmana or Maki Adam Yumas. It's Vayikra Chav Dalet. Which means, if one hits an animal, he has to pay for it. And if one hits a person, he gets killed. Okay?
Hits meaning
killed. Yes. Yes. So the question is, it's a hekesh. Right? Because on the surface, well, why is the Torah putting these two things together? Killing an animal is just a monetary crime. Killing is killing. And why is the Torah writing those two together? I mean, aren't those two totally different areas of halacha? So it's a hekesh. It's a comparison. The Torah putting them together, juxtaposing the two things, to teach you something. To teach you there's a similarity between the two. Okay? What's the similarity? What's the comparison? Ma makeh behema lochi laktabo ben shogim. Is it just like when it comes to hitting an animal, there's no distinction between whether you do it b'shogeg or b'meizit. Whether you're intending to do it or you're not intending to do it, whether you're doing it going upwards or going downwards, the pocho mamon, none of these things will exempt you from the money. Rather, you're chayiv mamon no matter what. You must pay for the animal no matter what. I don't care how you were killing the animal. You kill someone else's animal, you have to pay for it. Period. So too when you're hitting, killing a person, it doesn't matter whether you did it b'shogeg, whether you did it b'meizid, whether you did it intentionally or unintentionally, whether you're doing up or going down, chayv mamon, it doesn't matter. No matter what, you're not going to be chayv mamon el potra mamon. Rather, you're always going to be chayv potra from money. Okay, you're always, just like when it comes to hitting an animal, you're always going to be chayv mamon. So too, when you kill a person, you're always going to be pater mamon. Don't think that you're only going to be pater from money by killing a person if you actually are going to be killed. Okay, or something like that. Only if you're actually going to be killed, then you don't make your pay. But no matter what, if you're killing a person, you're always pater from money. Okay, if you're killing an animal, you're always chayev from money. If you kill a person, you're always pater from money. Funny hekesh, right?
Weird.
They're like opposites. Right? They're opposites. Right? Just like here, it's always high, therefore here it's always pata, and that's the death penalty. Exactly. Correct. Correct. But it's not only, it turns out, it's not only for killing, it's really for any time you're involved in a crime, which is subject to being killed, so there's no chiyavam. There's no chiyavam. It's chayve miso. So the way this is stated, halakhli, is chayve miso shogigim. Okay, which means if you do a crime which is a chayav misa, a crime which involves a death penalty, and even if you do it b'shogeg, which means you're not going to actually be punished because it's shogeg, still you're part of the tashlum. You're still exempt from payment. Now this, I think, should not be confused with kimlei b'darav mineh or with kedei rishasa. Kimlei v'derav aminei, which means that if a court has two punishments which would devolve upon a person, the court only gives them the more strict punishment, not the little more lenient punishment. Or kedei rishasa, that you only give one punishment, you don't punish it. Because here it's not all here, that's when is a court actually enacting punishments. Here it's nothing to do with enacting a punishment, because it's even if it's b'shogeg. So even though it's b'shogeg, you're not getting any punishments. So it's nothing to do with punishments. And that's why it's even in theory, that's why it's even applicable to, in theory, it's easier to see why it's applicable to Rodev. It has nothing to do with courts. It's even Meshogeg. But what is the idea? So what's the idea of the Hekesh? I think that's what we have to define. What's the idea here, and what's the idea of the Hekesh? How's it compared? And then you have the Havamin Oskana, does this idea apply if it's Misa Lazer Tashlum Lazer? If the Misa and the money are coming from two different sources, or the Havamin is that it wouldn't, Kamashul and it does. Okay, so that's basically, that should do it. Okay, so that's basically, I mean, these points pretty much get us to the end of the Rodev Tzvot. I think then I guess we'll move to the Grizz. The Grizz is a long Grizz. I'm trying to figure out exactly which parts of it I want to do, because it's a little bit long-winded, and I don't think it's going to be worth our time to read through the whole thing together and share. I would recommend you all to read the whole thing, but I think just in terms of going through it, I think I have to, I'm trying to pick out what's like, which points are, you know.
The Grizz
Rizin Chedusha? Yeah, Chedusha Grizz al Rama. It's a black, it's a tall black book. It's hard to get. maybe we could try to somehow photocopy it or scan it or something.